Okay, everybody, so let's begin. This week is Parshas Vayeshev, Erev Chanukah, Shabbos Erev Chanukah. Okay, let's go through a couple of ha'aris on the parasha. First thing, who's your site? The Tosh Rebbe.
Yeah, the first one.
So let's start with a var from the Divrei Yoel in honor of Mr. Axelrod. We're going to start with a var from the Divrei Yoel. Okay, from the Sach Merav. So good var. The Sach Merav says, what's the smichus between Parshas Vayishlach to Parshas Vayeshev? Gval de gvar. The last words of Parshas Vayishlach are, Hu Esav, Avi Edoim. Right, that's the last thing we learned. The Aluf, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, Aluf El Alufei Edom, Lemo Shivay Sam, Beretz Achuz Asam, Hu Esav, Avi Edoim. Last words. Oh, who is Esav? Esav is the Tata of Edoim. Parsha begins, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Migurei Oviv. Yaakov, he dwelt, Gesundheit, in the land of the dwellings of his father. The Eretz Canaan. Contrast is says it all. The nature of Esav. Here's where we're separating, though. The brachas here are separating. Yaakov and Esav, they're separating. The whole mahus of Esav is, do you know who I am? I am the father of humanity. I am the inventor of the internet. I am the creator. I am the creator of technology. Who Esav? Avi. I'm the creator. It all comes from me. It all starts with me. Everything that you're going to see in this world, everything accomplishment you're going to see in this world, make no mistake about it. Who Esav? Avi. I'm the father of Edom. Edom represents the Western culture, Western civilization. Western civilization is everything. Everything from peanuts to F-35s, right? Everything in between. They're everything. Who Edom? Klal Yisrael, we're nothing. Garnished. The whole pride of Klal Yisrael is Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv. Is to connect yourself to the others. With children. Our bracha, our hadracha, our success. Yaakov, he lives a life in the land, Migurei Aviv, to follow in the footsteps of his father. The Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, but the focus, the central point is, connect yourself, look at yourself as only a child of your father, not like Esav, who looks himself as the Avi Edom. It's an Avers versus a child. Next Vart. Next short idea. Okay, we have a lot of living short ideas. Chanukah, Yaakov, Parsha begins. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Biguri Aviv Eretz Canaan. It's Erev Chanukah. Rashi here in the middle of the Rashi says Bikesh Yaakov Leishe B'Shalva. After Yaakov Avinu, why does it say Vayeshev? Let me just find the exact words of the Rashi. It's a little bit further down. Here it is. V'Oid Nidrash Boy Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leishe B'Shalva. He wanted to sit, to live in peace, to go to Koilel, to retire. He had a very hard life. He worked for 22 years for Lavan. It was no easy job. It was 24/7. He was frostbitten. He had heat strokes, as he describes himself back in Parashas Vayetze. He was cheated, swindled. Every problem that you read about in the newspapers or goes on in the workplace, Yaakov Avinu had it 10 times over. When he suffered at the hands of Lavan. So now, after all that, I come home to Eretz, my brother tried to kill me, v'chulu v'chulu, now, b'kesh Yaakov leishe b'shalva, kofatz alav, roigzoy shel Yosef. Tzadikim evakshim leishe b'shalva, oimer kodesh baruch hu, lo dayin l'tzadikim, mashem shem sugin l'cham lo ilam haba. Is it not enough when they're going to get to the next world? Ela shem evakshim leishe b'shalva ilam hazeh? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon him the roigzoy shel Yosef. So I saw a... And the Medrash says a little bit more. It elaborates a little bit more. Yaakov Avinu felt he has 12 children. Raising 12 children is no easy task, especially when you have four wives. You have four wives, 12 children, tsar gidl banim. At this point in time, the children already have matured. They've matured. they're independent. We see last week's parasha that Reuven, that Shimon and Levi, they went out and they destroyed a whole city of Shechem. Obviously, the children all have been, they have matured. They're at a point where they're adults. And now Yaakov Avinu says, I've already paid off all the college tuition. My children are all independent people. They all can get married. That's it. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, you're making a big mistake. Chinuch never stops. It never ends. Rogzoi Shel Yosef brought the family together, where Yaakov Avinu had to give them hadracha. As we go through all the details in the next parshios, Yaakov Avinu was making decisions for his children, play by play, and guarding them, and being mechanich them till the very end of his life. This, according to Chazal, I don't have names for you, it's more achronim, but I've seen this idea said over the years in many different places, in different way, different forms, but the idea that is expressed here is that there was a mistake that Yaakov Avinu made. He felt that it comes a certain point in life where you no longer have an obligation to be mechanich your children. Your children are adults, they can make their own decisions, it's none of my business, it's their generation, it's not for me to get involved, and I can take a step back, and that's the deeper meaning. And that's the deeper meaning of what it means. Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva, we're focusing specifically on his obligation of Chinuch Habanim. Hashem says, your Chinuch Habanim does not end until the very last day. Roigzoi Shel Yosef, look what happened with the brothers. The brothers here, they're fighting the dreams. There are dreams. Yosef has dreams, and the dreams are insulting his brothers. They're going to bow down to him. Yaakov even has to shout, Vayigar Boyov, what are you saying this to your brothers? There is Machloikis. Yaakov then sends Yosef out to Shechem. Go out and see Luchu, see the peace of your brothers. There are all these telltale signs where Yaakov Avinu is trying to bridge the gap and bring the children together once again. It's all Nichol and Roigzoi Shel Yosef. This is something that is very, this message is very appropriate for the Chanukah, Erev Chanukah. Because Chanukah is called Al Shem Chanukah. And Chanukah is, well, literally means dedication. The rededication of the Mizbeach. Oz, Eymor, Beshir, Mizmer, Chanukah, Sam Mizbeach. But the Darshanim say that it's not a coincidence the word Chanukah is called Chanukah, which comes from the word Chinuch, because it's also the Yom of Chanukah very much alludes to Chinuch Habanim. Matisyahu had five children. The five children are the ones who fought the battles, all under the Chinuch, all under the guidance of the father Matisyahu. B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, they were Muhammad. Who was doing the war? The Muhammad, the children. Who was the spiritual leader? Matisyahu. And there are many. I don't have all the details, but in the Mefarshim they show in many ways that Chanukah very much relates to children. You have the dreidel, and you have all different types of things. Ner ish ubeisai. What more do you want than that? That's probably the best example, that the father lights on behalf of the entire home. Where do you have a mitzvah where just one person does the mitzvah, mikra hadin, and everyone else is potter? It's ner ish ubeisai. You come, you gather around the father is going to do the mitzvah, the father is going to be madrich, the children, the bais, how to do the mitzvah. Okay, we have mahadrin, that itself is very controversial. We learned to Aruch HaShulchan, all the different opinions of what it means exactly, mahadrin, who says the mahadrin and mahadrin, we're doing it right, we're only following the Das Yochid. Mahadrin and mahadrin, according to, I think I remember the Rambam, according to other Rishonim, is where the father lights every single night an additional candle. But who says every single member of the bayis should light an additional candle? That is not an all pashut at all. We, for whatever reason, every single member of the bayis lights additional candles. But meikar hadin, even the mahadrim, and the mahadrim is where the rosh habayis lights, and he represents the family. It's family time, quality family time. It's all about chinuch. And the danger of chinuch is, it comes to a point where it's not my problem anymore. I've done mine. I've paid off tuition. I've married them off. They're on their own. Leave me alone. Cut the strings. I don't want to get involved in all of these decisions anymore. That's the mistake. That's the hakdama to Chanukah. The hakdama to Chanukah is Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. I've raised my children. I'm done. I've been there, done that, finished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon him Roigzoi Shel Yosef. The children are fighting. they're fighting, he's telling them about their dreams, they hate him, they're jealous, they want to kill him, v'chulu v'chulu. Yaakov tries to make some type of peace between them, doesn't work, it only gets worse, mechiras Yosef, v'chulu v'chulu. Chinuch never ever ends. That's the yantiv of Chanukah. Chanukah, chinuch, chinuch never ends. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I'll let you think about what it means. I saw this in Rabbi Shalom Smith's Sefer of a collection of the Maimorim, the lectures of Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he quotes there Rav Velvel from Brisk. I think it's the Maggid of Brisk. So he once is giving, that is the whole story behind it. I don't know the story, I just want to mention the point he makes. He was once darshing, and he said it's now Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev is the ninth parsha of Parshas, and he says it's the most difficult parsha for me. Because until this point in time, until Vayeshev, there's always a balance, there's always in each parsha a gesundheit, a machlekes, a dispute between the forces of good and the forces of evil. For example, in Parshas Bereishis, Adam is a tzaddik, the Yetzir Kapa of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is he fighting with? The Nachash. The Nachash is the Satan, the Yetzer Hara. So there's good and bad, clear cut. So you have to focus on the good, and you have to focus, and you have to know how to neutralize, obliterate the evil. Parshas Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. What more do you want? Who is he fighting against? The generation. His whole generation. Good against evil. Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu. What more do you want? Avram Avinu. The tzaddik. Avram Avinu. The Reish HaMaminim. Who is he fighting against? The four Malachim. The five Malachim. Sodom. And all these wicked kings who want to Nimrod. Rashi Darshan. The name of each one of the Malachim that what it represents. They want to rebel and go fight against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim. The four and the five Malachim were Rishoyim Gemurim. That's what it says in Farish. And it was a Mohammed. Forces of good versus the forces of evil. Parshas Vayera. Avraham, who's in the spell for? Sodom v'Amora. Again, good and evil. Parshas Chaye Sarah. Eliezer, the Eved Avram. Doyle Umashke, Mitorosso Shalavim Avin, with Tzaddik. Who's he going up against? Besuel, Lavan. They tried to poison him, tried to kill him, take all of his money. Again, force of good and evil. Then we come to Parshas Toldos. That's easy. Yaakov and Esav. Esav is the Ish Tzayid. Who's going to get the brachas? The good or the bad? Rivka knows the truth. Yaakov, Yitzhak was fooled. But we have Yaakov and Esav. Parshas Vayera. Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov goes to work for Lavan. Parshas Vayera. And Lavan deceives him. Deceives him and tortures him. Changes his wife. Rachel, Leah, v'chul, the whole parsha. We're dealing over here with the worst of the worst. Vayishlach. We go back again to Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov meets Esav. Vayira, Yaakov me'od vayetzelo. He meets Esav. How he's going to deal with Esav. And then we come now to Parshas. Maybe we can close the door. Now we come to Parshas Vayeshev. So Rav Velvel of Brisk said, in Vayeshev, you can't say there's good and bad, because they're all shiftei koh. The central theme of Vayeshev is the brothers. Okay, the central theme are the brothers. The brothers is machlokes. The brothers want to sell Yosef, even though it's true what they've done. Even though what they've done is something which is horrific, to sell their brother, but they're still Klal Yisrael. We come from the Shvatim. So it's very difficult. There is no open, outright, what?
Villain.
There's no villain. There's no villain. How can you make a movie without a villain? Right? You can't write a novel without a villain. You have to have the villain. This is a necessary component of any good story.
Conflict.
But we don't have. What? Okay, but we don't have. This is the choshech. This is the divda. That's what he said. How Rav Velvel applied that to his drasha, I'm not really sure. I didn't get that far in understanding what he was saying. But it is an interesting point. Now here we come, Erev Chanukah. we come to the time of the year that's smack in the middle of the winter. The nights of the year are the longest. The night is symbolic of Galus. This is the thickness, the deepest kufa of Galus, the time of Chanukah. And that's exactly what Galus is. In Galus, it's very, very hard to differentiate bin mavdil bin kodesh l'chol. It's very hard when you're living at times of light, of lichtigkeit. So you know what's good and you know what's evil. You know what's tov and ra. You can make a decision. If you don't want to make the right decision, so you're a fool. You have no one to blame but yourself. But when you're living in the dark, when it's very dark outside and you're walking down the streets, you can't blame a person if he trips on the sidewalk. He trips over and over something because you can't really see. It's very, very hard to differentiate between one thing and another. This is the Parshas Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev is such a parsha where you're coming to split hairs. Yosef had problems. Yosef instigated his brothers. He tells the brothers to bow down to me. Yosef was wearing the kesonis pasim. There are clearly problems. Chazal acknowledged there are major problems going on between the brothers and Yosef. Yet, there are limits how far you go. Do you go so far to kill him, to go throw him, to go sell him? This is the avoida, the nesoyon of Parashas Vayeshev. And for this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Parashas Vayeshev against the backdrop of Chanukah. Chanukah is a little or to light at a tkufa of darkness, of difficulty, where we can be mavdil between one derech and another derech. We need the light of Chanukah. We need a little guidance, a little lichtigkeit, a little or to help us get through the difficult decisions in life, which is symbolized in the darkness of Golus. And Golus, we're really in the dark. We don't know where to go, what to do to make the right decisions, what's the proper mahalach to follow to get us through Golus. That's Vayeshev. Chanukah is there to give us that little boost of light to make those decisions. Okay, let's go to another idea, another short idea. It's a pop, everyone knows the idea. I just want to tie this into Chanukah. We know that Yaakov Avinu, he favored Yosef. How did he favor Yosef? Pasuk says, V'yisrael ahaves Yosef mikol banav ki ven zukunim hulo. V'os lekesonis pasim. There's a very popular bal haturim on the words ki ven zukunim hulo. Rashi first says he was a bar hakim. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu, he learned b'chavrusa with his son Yosef. He taught him everything. Everything that Yaakov Avinu learned in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, he transmitted to his favorite son Yosef. The other children seems to not have access, did not have the knowledge of that Yaakov Avinu that had. He Yaakov did not give over the Mesorah to the other children, but he gave it all over to Yosef. And that is alluded to in the word Zikunim. The Baal HaTurim says these five letters correspond to Ziroim, Kachim, Nizokin, Yoshuos, which refers to Ziroim, Kachim, Noshim. Noshim, Yud stands for Yeshuos. Yeshuos is another word for Seder Nizokin, and the Mem is for Moed. So the five letters of the word Ki Ben Zikunim Hulo, Zokin means Zesha Kana Chochma. What Chochma did Yaakov Avinu give over to his son Yosef? He gave over the five of the six Sidorim of Shas. Kol HaTorah Kula is included in the six Sidorim. Yaakov gave to Yosef five out of the six. Ziroim, one more time, Kodshim, Noshim, Yehoshuos, which is equivalent to Nizakin, and Mem is Moed. So what is the obvious question everyone asks? Well, what about Seder Taharos? How come Yaakov Avinu did not give over to his son Yosef Seder Taharos? And the answer, the Hasidish answer which everyone gives is, Tahara is not something you can teach. Tahara is something that you have to learn yourself. You can't teach a person how to be tahor. Tahara has a very powerful word, purity. To be a pure person requires nisayon, requires experience, requires you going out into the world and dealing with difficult situations, and learning how to overcome the Yetzirah and not being affected by the Yetzirah. Tahara is something you can't teach. It's something you have to experience, and that's why by design the test is left out. This is very appropriate for Erev Chanukah, because Chanukah is the miracle of Chanukah is all about the Pach Shemen Sheyemunach Dechoysamay Shel Koyin Gadol. The Yevanim, the Chashmonoim, prevail over the Yevanim. They come into the Beis Hamikdash. Really, all the Mefarshim say they can light the menorah. Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. But yet, out of a bonus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling upon Klal Yisrael and Mesiras Nefesh. They wanted to light the menorah in a state of Tahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that it should be found the Pach Shemen Sheyemunach B'Chosamah Shel Kohen Gadol. It's Tahar. And with this little spark of Tahara, Klal Yisrael was able to reboot, rebuild, and start afresh, start a new tekufa in Klal Yisrael which began the tekufa of the Ribuy HaTorah. The Ribuy HaTorah began with the time of Chanukah. And it's all Tahara. Why? Because Tahara is something that you have to do on your own. Hashem can give us Tahara. The Tahara only came through the Mesiras Nefesh, which included the Milchama, which included the entire attitude. It wasn't just the Milchama. It was the attitude that Klal Yisrael had. Enough is enough. The time has come where we have to rededicate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Mesiras Nefesh. That was an expression of Tahara, which we earned on our own, Israisa Dilatata, and this is why alluded to in the Hagdama to this parasha, Ki Ben Zikunim Hulo, the test we earned, and that's what we earned in the time of Chanukah. Okay, let's go to another short Vart. Yosef was sold. He was sold to a whole collection of people. Orchas Yishmaelim, the Midonim, and other Kenanim, a whole long list of people. So Rashi here, I'm going to Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chaf Hey, it says that Vayeshvu Lecha Lecha Vayisu Inim Vayiru Vihinei Orchas Yishmaelim Ba'am Yigilad Ugmaleim Noisim, and their camels were carrying Nechois Utsri Valoit, spices, fragrances, Holchim Loharid Mitzrayimo. It's not necessary to tell us this. If the Torah would not have told us, that we wouldn't blink. They were carrying, who cares what they were carrying? Wherever they were carrying shmatis. We wouldn't even think twice if the Torah did not tell us what these camels were carrying. So Rashi, Chazal, pick up on the question. Loma pirse makosov, esmasan. Torah doesn't say anything, say something for nothing. Lehoidia, to inform you, matan sichoron shel tzadikim, she'ein darkon shel arvoyim, it's not the way of an Arab, loseis el nefet, to carry things that have a foul odor, fuel, different types of fuel, the itron sherechon ra, ulezeh hashkocha pratis, it was something extremely unusual, one in a million, to find an Arab that's carrying fragrances to Mitzrayim, one in a million, v'lamen izdamdu b'sam shelo yuzak mereach ra, that when Yosef is transported down to Egypt, he should not be injured, should not be harmed by the foul odor of the commodity that they were transporting. So this was, now the point I want to make over here is, lehoidia, Rashi uses some very powerful words, lehoidia matan sichoron shel tzadikim. Is that the word that you would use if you were writing Rashi? If you were Rashi, would you use such a powerful expression? It's lehoidia, to make it known, the hashkocha pratis. Hashkocha, Hashem was protecting him. It was a sign in Hashemayim that, look, what's happening to you, there's hashkocha, there's a reason for it. You're going to Egypt, but it should be a pleasant trip. You're going to going down basically first class, business class. You don't have to go down coach, economy class, you're going business class. But why does Rashi use these powerful words, Lehodia Matan Sichoron Shel Tzadikim? I think the answer is very simple. In this world, there are a lot more questions than there are answers. And there's no one in this world that has a free lunch. Everyone that comes to this world has a peckle. Everyone has a peckle. So what are you going to do? That's the way it is. Oh, what about? I'm a tzaddik. I miss a minyan my entire life. I am a dach. I never spoke during chazor sashatz my entire life. I did everything good. Where's the matan sechoron? Where is the reward? So the answer is, you know what the ultimate reward is? This, there are too many questions in this world. But the reward in this world is to know, to have the sense that Hashem is holding your hand. You cannot demand, no one should be foolish to demand that the matan secharon, to demand, to be toiveya. You get a gift, there's no question, Hashem gives you gifts. Is, I'm toiveya. I should have children, grandchildren, talmidei chachamim, I should have parnasa, everything should go my way. I'm toiveya. I demand this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I'm a good person. It's a foolish thing. It's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu are yechidim. It's a gift. You can't be toiveya. The most matan schar that the person can demand, can be toiveya, is at least show me that you're holding my hand. I'm here for a purpose. I have a difficulty. That's my life. That's what Hashem gave me. But Ribbono Shel Olam, at least give me a clear sensation that you're with me. Imoy Anoichi Bitzara. That is the matan scharon shel tzaddikim in this world. That is the only thing a person has a right to demand. The same davening, the same sochar toiv lechol habotchim b'shimcha b'emes. What's the sochar toiv? You win the lottery. Everything's going to go your way. Everything that you want is going to go your way. No. The same sochar toiv lechol habotchim b'shimcha b'emes is this Rashi. The idea that during the greatest sorrow of my life, I'm being sold as a slave to a country where no one escapes, where I'm going to be tortured and be put in a dungeon, I should at least know that Hashem is with me. Imoy anoichi b'tzara. It's one in a million that they should be carrying fragrances instead of carrying things which have a foul odor. That is the matan tzcharon shel tzaddikim. That's why Rashi emphasized these words. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's discuss Mechiras Yosef. Let's touch upon this parasha, unfortunately, is one of the most horrific parashas in the Torah, because we have committed in this parasha the worst possible avera in this parasha. Worse than the eagle, worse than the meraglim. This parasha touches upon the worst possible chet, the chet of sinas chinam. Sinas chinam went out of control. They took their own basar v'dam. They sold him as a slave to Mitzrayim. We suffer from this ad hayoyim hazeh. We read about this on Yom HaKippurim. We read about this in the Piyutim on Tisha B'Av. Every tzar that happens in this world is all touched, goes back to the Mechiras Yosef. The Mepharshim said the blood libels. The blood libels which still go on. Shockingly, it still goes on today. Still goes on today. The blood libels, the Jews need blood of a non-Jew for their matzos, the most ridiculous thing in the world. How in the world does this nonsense have any traction, any in this world? So all the parts can say it's punishment, vayitbilu es hakesoines badom. It's all punishment for Mechiras Yosef. They went so far to dip the tunic in blood. Memela, there's an alilas dam on Klal Yisrael when Mashiach comes. Unfortunately, how much penalty people have died, and how the tsaris Klal Yisrael suffer because of the nonsense of the blood libels, all comes from the Mechiras Yosef. So now let's ask, what exactly was the chet? Because the more you study the Mefarshim, the more you'll come around to realize, you know, maybe the brothers were right. We were all there. It's very likely, if we were all living there at the time of Yaakov, and they were having a debate, should we kill him, should we sell him? It's very likely, this may be shocking to say, that 99.99999% of us would side with the brothers, and would decide that this threat to Klal Yisrael must be eliminated. Yosef must be eliminated. That's the reality. Sinas chinam is a topic to itself. Unwarranted indifference. There's a lot of time there. But the more you delve in, you learn to get very superficial. In second grade, they tell you about, wow, what a terrible thing to sell your brother. Ooh, ooh. It's the world coming to an end. But the more you study the Mefarshim of what Yosef did, how he conducted himself, the Messiah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what's going on behind the scenes, the more education you have, the more you will be inclined to side with the brothers and say, this person is a threat to the world. He's a threat to Klal Yisrael. He's a threat to the world. And this man must be eliminated. And in fact, they should give the brothers credit for not killing him, at least letting him live. At least letting him live his days out in Mitzrayim. Okay, and again, you have to study the Farshim. That's what they said. That's what's going on. So, what? Not right away. Well, Reuven saved him. Okay, we'll see. So, what's going on? What exactly? Pinpoint. Let's try to pinpoint. Pinpoint. The moment or the event or something very specific which we can grab onto practically to see where they went wrong. And this is a suggestion. I didn't see this anywhere, but I think it's there's something to be said. There's really one word. There's one word that says it all. What's the one word? You all probably can guess what the word, the whole story of Mechiras Yosef back and forth, so many psukim. The one word is, let me get to the pasuk. Vayashav, vayeshu lech lechem. They sat down to eat bread. Vayisu edeim vayu. Vine orchas yishmelim ba'ab. Vigilat igbalim v'yisim nechoyis v'shivaloi. Tocholchem lohoyim v'tzraimam. Vayoymer Yehuda el echov. Yehuda said to his brothers, Ma betza. What profit? Money. What profit will we gain? Let's sell him like Yishmaelim. Rashi pasuk chavav ma betza ma mamon. What money will we receive from what we're about to do? Now, how do I know this word is a powerful word? The word betza, because when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers in Parshas Vayigash, Yosef called the brothers together. Vayoymer Yosef Elechov, Ani Yosef. Ha'oy Ravi Choy. I'm Yosef. V'lo yachlu echov vanas v'soy ki nifhalu mipanav. And then Nochamol. Vayoymer Yosef Elechov gishuno elai v'yigosho. Vayoymer. Now he really rubs it in. He already told them I'm Yosef. They already were terrified. All the memories came back. They realized what they've done was wrong. And he just says one word to him. Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Michartem Oisi Mitzrayma. You sold. You made money off me. You sold to Egypt. We Ad Hayom Azeh, when we talk about the chait of Yosef, we don't say Yosef. We say Mechiras Yosef. In other words, let me just work backwards. What should the brothers have done if they really were acting L'shem Shemayim? No, not necessarily. Enochnani, maybe. Okay, that was an argument. That was a legitimate thing. They wanted to kill him. Right, that's what they did. Reuven says, no, you're not going to kill him. Okay, put it on hold. We're not going to kill him. We'll just give him away. We'll give him away for free. We'll give him away for free to Egypt. This is not a matter of money with this parnasa. This is an opportunity to make money. If this really is an issue that's 100% L'shem Shemayim, which they believed. They believed they were acting 100% L'shem Shemayim. And they brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the equation. And they made a neder. They convened the Beis Din. They were convinced if it's 100% L'shem Shemayim, and this, you never even had a halamina, there was a possibility to make money off this event, why all of a sudden to make money, we'll sell him, we'll all buy new shoes, new designer shoes with the money. Ma betza, where's the money? Let's go sell him, we'll gain some money. That speaks volumes, because that already goes to show it's not 100% L'shem Shemayim. Now, of course, people make another name. I'm not talking about that. People are learning to do mitzvahs. You have to make parnasa, schar b'teilo, and really you have to make a good parnasa. That's not what we're talking about. But here, there was no expectation to make money. They had parnasa. They were shepherds. Here, they're dealing over here with the future of the world, with the future of Klal Yisrael. This man is a threat. This man must be eliminated. And we have a convening desk that we include for the Shbaruchu. It's not a time to make money off the transaction. the fact that they're thinking about making money is a revelation that they themselves should have picked up upon, that, you know something? This thing is not L'shem Shemayim. Because if it was really L'shem Shemayim, it would not be a Hava Mina that we should profit off the deal. And therefore, Ani Yosef Asher Mechartem Oisi Mitzrayim. If you would have given me away as a gift, free, Hefker, come take him. You know something? It wouldn't have been so bad. You had a good reason. Hashem is not coming to make trouble for you. If you have a good reason for doing something, it's a legitimate reason, Hashem is willing to be meichel you. But the betza, the money, is the root of all evil. It is the root of all. I remember I experienced something with a car. I always thought, you know, my foolishness, I'm such an honest, good person. Such a good person, you know, don't take money, this, that. And then, once I had an incident where I had to bring the car into a mechanic to have it fixed, and the guy said to me, you're going to get a kickback. And like, I saw myself, like, wow, like, is this legal? You know, I had to go through the whole shock of Italian. But I saw firsthand how it totally changed. You put money in front of a person, it totally changes your mind. It's poison. It's really, really poison. And this is always the litmus test of anything which is questionable. Follow the money. Follow the money. When there's money being transferred, you know right away there's something has to be, you have to be very careful. Betza is the root cause of the chet, the chiras Yosef. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I like. You're going to like it. Let's see Reuven. Let's go here to this pasuk. Vayishma Reuven, going backwards. Paraglamet Zayin pasuk, let's say pasuk Chaf. The brother said, Yatar na'luchu v'na'argehu v'na'argehu, let's kill him. We'll throw him into one of the pits. Then the pasuk says, and Rashi says, who is the one that said these words? Who is the one who made this statement? It was Hashem. Hashem says, yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to go put him into a pit and kill him? You're not in control of this world. Hashem says, let's see between me and you what's going to happen. The next pasuk says, Vayishma Reuven. So as many of us remember, Reuven heard Baskol. Reuven heard Hashem say, Vinire ma yiyu chaloi myself. Reuven heard that it's not so simple. And the Mela, Vayatzilehu miyadam. He saved him. He saved Yosef from death. His conscience got the better of him. He heard the Baskol Hashem say, yeah, we'll see. Me and you, we'll see who's right. So Reuven, who's the Bechor, he stood up. Vayatzilehu miyadam, vayomer lo makenu nafesh. Vayomer le Reuven, al tishlichu dam, hashlichu oso el abor hazeh asher bamidbar, v'yod al tishlichuvo, leman hatzil oso miyadam lahashivo el aviv. And then Reuven disappears. He disappears, and in the meantime, the whole thing transpires. They sell him. Jump ahead many psukim by Yashav Reuven el Habar vihine ein Yosef babar vayikra es begadav vayashav elochi vayomar hayeled einenu vaani ana aniva. What am I going to do now? How am I going to escape from the pain of my father? Now let's look at this. Look at this hashkocha. Reuven was the only one who was going to save Yosef. Reuven had to leave. Hashkocha Pratis, he left. And why did Reuven leave? This was going to haunt Reuven for the rest of his life. For the rest of Klal Yisrael's existence. This will haunt us. Why did Reuven leave? Reuven is here. He's in the process of saving Yosef. The whole world would be different. Mashiach would have been here long ago. The whole world would have been different. And Reuven steps out. It haunts us. Ad hayoyim hazeh. Why did Reuven step out at this critical moment of time? So Rashi says something, which I believe this Rashi summarizes every person's life from beginning to end. A few words of Rashi. A lesson here in this Rashi that is so powerful, it touches upon the core of our existence. Why Reuven left? Two reasons, very simple. Pasuk says, Vayashav Reuven, uvemechiraso lo hayasham. He wasn't there. You know why? You know why he wasn't there? Because shehigia yoimai leilech ulishamesh es aviv. Today is my day. We have a rotation. Every day one of the children spends time with the father, feeding our father, walking with the father, learning with the father. Every day there's a rotation. We go. It's my day. I have no choice. Kibud av v'aim. What more would my father want than me being there with him to serve him? I have no choice. Second interpretation, Dover Acher, Osuk Hoya Bisako Uvitaniso Al Shabilbil Yitsui Aviv. Reuven caused his father pain. When Rachel died, Reuven took the mitah of Yaakov Avinu, he withdrew it from the tent of Bilhah and put it in the tent of Leah. That caused his father tsar. He recognized he has committed a sin, a terrible sin, and for the rest of his life, he did teshuva. And the teshuva cannot be, he was a neder, every Monday, Thursday, Bahab, he had to go fast, it was the day to go do his thing, he had no choice, he had to do what he needed to do. Now, Rashi again is giving two reasons. Let's look at the first reason. First reason is, Reuven is tormented. Why did I leave? Reuven says, there's nothing I could have done. It was bashert. 100% min hashamayim, it was meant to happen. 100%. Who was the one who suffered the most from Mechiras Yosef? Yaakov the father. My father, my Ben Zakunim is gone. But it was my day to serve, to give pleasure to my father. This was meant to be. I'm on a rotation. I cannot get out of the rotation. And the rotation is to give pleasure to my father. Hashkocha Pradis, the day that I'm giving pleasure to my father, the Yosef is sold, which caused my father Agmas Nefesh. It's not my fault. Because I was doing the complete opposite. I was giving my father the greatest Hanah by coming and serving him. So when Reuven sits and reflects upon this haunting moment of why he left, it's not my fault. It was meant to happen. It was meant to be. And there's absolutely no blame do I take upon myself for what has happened. The second reason is just the opposite. You know why this happened? Avera goireres avera. It's all my fault. I caused my father tsar. And for that reason, I had to be mekabel upon myself to tshuva and to fast and to put on my sackcloth and go to the shul and do who knows what. And because I had to do that, that was a siba to cause my father even more tsar. I had to step out. I was not there at that moment. And Yosef was sold. And look what happened. Avera, goireres avera. When Reuven focuses upon the second reason, he eats himself up. The tsar is infinite. There's no end to the torment that he brings upon himself. It's 100% my fault that this thing happened. I caused my father tsar, and therefore I am now was instrumental in causing my father more tsar. I was megal bilbul yitzui aviv. That's avera gorera savera. I wasn't there. It's all my fault. Rashi presents these two reasons. One reason, dover acher. The two reasons are the extremes. Mikotze el kotze. The first reason was meant to be. Don't blame me. It's min Hashem yotze hadover. The second reason, it's 100% my fault. How many times in life do we have events, tragedies, Rahman al-Islam, or bad things that happen that we consider to be bad things happen to us, and we look back, if only I have done something different. If only, like people go, Rahman al-Islam, people go to a doctor. If only I went to the doctor 6 months ago, they would have caught it, and I wouldn't be in the situation now. If only it comes to Shidduchim. If only I made this decision, I had an opportunity, I made this decision 6 months ago, it would have been a different life. It could have been a whole different world. So what do you say? So you go to a Rav, and they'll say, it was meant to be. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. It was meant to be. It's min Hashemayim. May Hashem yotza hadavar. This was the rotzen of Hashem. Don't play with your mind. Don't go back in time and blame yourself. That's what's meant to be. On the other hand, people say, yeah, it's all very nice. Easy for you to say. Easy for you to say it was all meant to be. But I know deep down in my heart that I was foolish. I was foolish. I should have listened to the doctor. I should have listened to someone's advice when they came to a shidduch. I should have listened to a business, someone making a business plan. Someone's giving you advice in a business venture, right? Give you advice, a tip to invest money. I'm a fool. So what is it? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're both true. Rashi looks at Ruvain. Ruvain here is going to torture himself for the rest of his life. He has two reasons. Not bashert. Or is bashert. This was meant to be. You can't blame me. I'm being mechaved my father. When I'm being mechaved my father should have tzar. That should be the sibuk. Can't be. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. But davar acher. He went to go fast. Whole different interpretation. It's 100% my fault. No one to blame but myself. What's the emes? They're both the emes. They're both the MS. How do you understand them both in the MS? No, that's something that's very hard to grasp. That's the difficulty of life. There's torment, but you have to also be Makabel. Was meant to be. Two sides of the same coin. Very painful, very, very difficult. But this is what Rashi is saying with regard to Mechiras Yosef, in regard to Ruvain, and these words of Rashi apply, jump out, and apply a practical to every person that walks the face of this earth. In tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta, everyone in life has things that they regret. Some things are greater, some things are smaller. And you look back, you always have this dilemma. Could have, should have, would have, only had chulu v'chulu, maybe yeah, maybe not. And then you have this hashkofa, we are ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim. There are things that are meant to be that's beyond your control. Don't think you can outsmart Hashem. Hashem has a plan for you. Hashem puts a machshav in your mind to do things whether you like it or not. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. These are the words of Rashi.
Rashi had no choice. Because according to the first pshat, there would be only desha harugim, not desha.
No, that's an old question. Yosef was also guilty. That's a side question. There are many answers to that question. I don't think that's a problem. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's discuss. Okay, let me give you a short idea. This is a simple idea. Something. Three times in this parasha do we have a reference to a person making a request. In the beginning of the parasha, Rashi says, "Vayeshev Yaakov bi'eretz migurei aviv." Rashi, "Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva." Yaakov had a bakosha. He wanted a request. He wanted to live in a state of peace. But what happened? Hashem said, "Sorry, buddy, you're not here to have a good life." What's the next request? Yosef, he comes to the field. Yosef, what do you want? What's your bakosha? I am the genie. What's your bakosha? What would you like? Vayomer es achai anochi mevakesh. I want to be at peace with my brothers. That's what the Mefarshim learn. I want to make peace. They don't like me. I've made mistakes in my relationship with them. I want to be with my peace. I want a chay anochi mevakesh. Hagid no li efochem roim. Did Yosef get what he wanted? Certainly not. They wanted to kill him. They almost killed him. They sold him. They stripped him from his clothing. V'chulu v'chulu. He did not get what he wanted. The third time we have Akash Nisik's Parsha, Tamar says to Yehuda, Yehuda, you want to kill me because I'm pregnant? Haker no. Recognize no. Lemi hamate. Who do these the pledge, who does the pledge belong to? Rashi, what does Rashi say on the word haker no? Ain no ella loshoin bakosha. I make a request. And what does Rashi say? What's the bakosha? Ha ain no loshoin bakosha. Haker no boir acha. Recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, your creator. Recognize there's a creator, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, pro life. Hashem is pro life. Don't kill me, because if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill the children that are inside of my womb. Haker no. Did Yehuda listen? Yes, he did. Tzadka mimeni. So what's the drush? The drush is that in life we want a lot of things. We want a good life. We want peace. We want peace with everyone. And we want to also recognize Haker no, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Haker no boir acha. Not everything is in our hands. Having a peaceful life, shalom v'shalva, b'kesh Yaakov leisha v'shalva, we don't always get. To have peace, it's not in your hands. Everyone has enemies. Everyone has people that they're not comfortable with. And there's nothing you can do. You can be nice. You can try the best. Whatever. Okay, we want to talk about peace, world peace? Forget about it. Peace with other nations? It's not always within our hands to have peace. But there's one thing that's within Biyodeinu. Haker na boiracha. The only bakasha that survives the parsha of Ayeshev is the bakasha recognize there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Recognize. If you recognize that, you're in good hands. Tzadka mimeni. Okay, let's go to an idea of Chanukah. This year Chanukah is unique in that it begins on a Mitzvah Shabbos and it ends on a Mitzvah Shabbos. Halo Dover, isn't that very interesting? Mitzvah Shabbos to Mitzvah Shabbos. I believe that this year is thus the ideal year to celebrate Chanukah. When Chanukah begins and ends on a Mitzvah Shabbos. Why do I say that? Very simply. You go, where is the place, the location to put the Ner Shel Chanukah? On the Pesach Habayis Mibachutz, where? On the opposite side of the mezuzah. The mezuzah is on the Yemin, and the Ner Chanukah is on the Smol, on the left. What is the significance of the mezuzah? Why is the Bechlal is the mezuzah on the right side? The mezuzah is the right side because that's when most people are righties. And when you walk, you take your right foot goes first. It represents entrance. When you come into your home, as you enter your home, you should come in contact with the mezuzah. Recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Echad. Thus, the left side is not the entrance. However, the left side is the right of the exit. When you put the menorah on the left side of your door, what you're really doing is, you're putting the menorah, it's not the left side, it's the right side of the door when you leave. And what does that teach us about Chanukah? Chanukah is the ner, the mezuzah is for the bias. Talk about ner Shabbos. We light candle Shabbos. What's the ner Shabbos all about? Ner Shabbos is for the bias. Yeah, you have a shalom bias. You should be able to have peace at home. The Ner Chanukah is the Ner, the illumination that we provide, that Klal Yisrael provides, that we take with ourselves when we go out into the world. Presuminisa, when you leave the bias and you go out into the world, into the Ola, into the Rishus HaRabim, and you come in contact with Nisyonos of dealing with difficult situations in Golos, in the world at large, outside the bias, you need to take with you the Lichtigkeit, the Kedusha of the Ner Chanukah with you into the world, into the world at large, the outside of your bias. What is Mitzvah Shabbos? Mitzvah Shabbos is a Zman of the bias. Shabbos, there's no carrying. on Shabbos, Me'ikar Hadin, unless you have an Erev, Al Yetze Ish Mimekoimoy Bayoim Hashvi. Shabbos this Tchum. You can't walk more than 2,000 Amos. You can't carry Mimokoim from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Shabbos is a Zaman when you're confined to the Bayis. It's the Kedusha, the localized Kedusha of the Bayis. Mitzoy Shabbos is the time when you leave Shabbos, when you leave the Bayis and you go out into the world. You go out to make a parnasa. You go out and you take the kedusha of Shabbos and you bring it to the world. You bring it to the world at large. You first focus on internally creating a nucleus of kedusha, and then when Shabbos is over, you take that kedusha you have established and you bring it, you spread it to the world. That is what Mitzvah Shabbos is. So therefore, it's so fitting that these two things coincide this year. The first day of Chanukah is certainly possibly the most significant day of Chanukah. That's Chafei. Chanu b'Chafei. They rested on day Chafei. That was the first day when they rested. The first day of Chanukah is like Purim. They fought on day 13, and on day 14 they rested. Day 25, the first day of Chanukah, is really the only real day of the holiday, because that's when we rested from the enemy. That's when miracle. Then there's the eighth day of Chanukah. The eighth day of Chanukah is Zos. That's the Spitz. That's when you come to the climax. Zos Chanukah. And both of these take place on Motzei Shabbos, which is the moment, is the Zman, of when we leave the Bayis and we go out to sanctify the world with the Kedusha Shabbos. And that's exactly what the menorah is. The Chanukah menorah is Mipesach, basically B'chutz, on the left side. It's on the exit of the Bayis, when you leave the Bayis to go out and give Kedusha, take with you that Kedusha of the menorah into the world. So how fitting it is this year, when the first and the last day fall on Mitzvah Shabbos, it's a tailored-made Chanukah, a time of Kedusha, take advantage of, to take the aura of Chanukah with us into the future. Okay, let me tell you maybe one more vart. Okay, one more vart, maybe two more verlach. Very quickly. Two more verlach. Very quickly. Why is it, good kasha, Yosef, when he was with his brothers, they did not get along. It was problematic. Brothers wanted to kill him. What more do you want? How do you know he wanted to hit me? Because he hit me. Okay, what more do you want? When Yosef goes to Potiphar, everything is fine and good. They love him. They love him too much. That's the problem. They love him. Ish matzliach. Your master has abandoned everything into my hands. They love him. What's the difference? Why a person who's normally, you find people who are problematic, who are combative, who have a bad personality, they're never good. They're not good in shir. They're not good in work. They're not good at home. They have problems all around. How come Yosef had a problem with his brothers, had no problem in Egypt with society? So I think there's one very simple expression. The introduction to Yosef and his brothers begins with the word v'hu na'ar. He was a na'ar. And Rashi says, what does it mean na'ar? B'salsel, b'saro. He beautified himself. He liked that, he enjoyed, he focused on himself. Being a na'ar means it's all about me, it's all about yourself. When Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim, the first thing it says when he came to Potiphar is, Vayihi ish matzliach. He wasn't a na'ar anymore. He learned his lesson. It was an ish. He learned the lesson. The lesson is, you want to be matzliach, be an ish, not a na'ar. Don't be a na'ar. And in fact, after things were very good for him, it says, Yifei toyar, he started behaving like a nar all over again. Rashi said he started eating, he started being misalz to besaro, and that's when Eishes Petifar made trouble for him. The chilik in success in life is, don't be a nar. Don't focus on yourself. Be an ish. An ish is a person that focuses on other people. That's the secret. Last vart, it's a very simple vart, but it speaks volumes. There are probably hundreds of explanations of how Yosef knew that this dream of the Sar HaMashkim was good. He interpreted the dream for good, and the dream of the Sar HaOifim, he interpreted the dream for bad, he's going to die. 100 interpretations, what's going on? I read it as sort of say a very simple vart. And really, the simplicity is so beautiful, and it speaks about after this, you don't need anything more. Yosef tells the two butlers they come to him, or he meets them, and he sees they're very sad. So he says to them, "Vayomer lav chalim chalanu faser noso." So Yosef says, "No problem." Vayomer alehem Yosef, "Haloi leloi kim pisroinim." Have faith. Have faith in God. Hashem Elohim pisroinim sapunoli. I'm trained. Whatever that means, but he says, you have to have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam to Hashem is pisroinim. Now, both of them had the opportunity to speak up. If you speak up at this point in time, it means, I accept. I accept Leloikim Pisroinim. The only one who speaks up and says, yes, I accept that Leloikim Pisroinim is who? Vayisaper, right away, yes, I'm maskim Eloikim Pisroinim, Vayisaper, Sahamashkim, Eschalem, Eli Yosef, Memela, for him, everything worked out okay. The Sarho Oifim, what does it say about the Sar Ha'oifim? He says, "Vayar Sar Ha'oifim ki toif posar." The Sar Ha'oifim was not interested in Elohim Tisrainim. He was interested in Yosef. He was interested in hearing a good interpretation. It doesn't say "Vayar Sar Ha'oifim ki toif posar." Oh, you're putting your faith in the interpretation, not on Elohim. You're putting your confidence in the interpreter. In the interpreter, it's not going to end well. The Musar Haskel is, Ikari is to recognize everything in life, we live, everything in life is one big dream. We're living in a world of dreams. Chalomos. Chanukah is time of chalomos. And the only thing to remember is, Haloi Leloikim Pisrainim. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a fair Chanukah, Mir Hashem, Monday we will resume.